Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this eighth day of May 2021. And we're going to go into a very difficult subject today. I mean, intensely difficult, highly controversial. I doubt if I'll emerge from this alive with all of you. I don't think it's going to go down well, but nonetheless, unless the nun, somebody's got to say it. We're going to talk about love. Yeah. That is a very touchy subject because it's so linked to our biology and hence our survival. So I looked up the word love. Let's get a premise here going. An intense feeling of deep affection. Okay? An intense feeling of deep affection. A deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. A personalized or personified figure of love, often represented by Cupid. A great interest and pleasure in something. Affectionate. An affectionate greeting conveyed to someone on one's behalf. Those are just a few. And you can probably tell by these definitions, a lot of it has to do with human affection. Now, where does affection happen? What is affection? Well, we looked that up. A gentle feeling of fondness or liking. A physical expression of affection. Touching, hugging. The act or process of affecting or being affected. A condition of disease. A mental state. An emotion. Yes, our affections come from our emotions. Our love comes from our emotions. With all of that being said, the way I look at love is basically from the state of people's biology. And as long as your emotions, your physical emotions, are playing into influencing you about the state of your love or whatever you think love is, you're going to find inside yourself a lot of conflict. You're going to find a lot of conviction, you know, what you believe in, what you really think is this is what love is. I don't know anyone. I really don't. I'm sitting here thinking over all the years of my life, I don't know anyone who doesn't think they know what love is. I really don't. And I don't know anyone who doesn't see it as an emotion. But there is far more to love than mere emotions. And that's why we have such great difficulties in this world. So let us go. These questions came to me, frankly, and it took a long time to get to them, from people listening and watching me on Aspire and the radio programs from Valentine's Day, believe it or not, way, way, way back. So here's where we go. Here's where we're going, and I hope I help you. The first question comes from Claire in Los Angeles, and she says, can any of us be in love with another person? It sounds to me like, listening to you, that can't happen. And I disagree, Claire. I know you disagree. Everybody disagrees with me. There are very few people who have the ilk to go beyond affection. We, from the moment we're born, we live off our biology. We live in a biology. We think of ourselves as biology. In fact, we can think of nothing else but ourselves as biological. So your body's biological, and it has all sorts of feelers out there and sensitivities, and it, you know, feels loved, or it feels cared for, or it feels nurtured, or whatever you want to call it. And then we kind of link that in a network in our brain of how loved we are, how important we are, how our life is going to be. We're going to be looking for someone to affectionize us, and we're going to call that love. Affection is huge, absolutely huge. Now, should we have affection? Well, yes, I think in the ongoingness, Claire, of our spiritual life as we begin to mature, absolutely. I think affection plays a very important part. But after a while, you got to start seeing affection for what it is, and you've got to see it for how it works within you and how it helps a certain part of you, but not the totality of you. And it is a trick play, actually, because if I devote my entire life to the affection that I will call love, I will start to really think that all I am is a human body with needs for human affection. And that's all I'll do. I will make romantic stories up. I will make beliefs up. I will go into this thing of thinking that my sexual romantic affections are love itself. And we've seen all sorts of movies and things and people, you know, who have sex, great sex, and think they're in love. Now, would you really be in love with a person that isn't so good, sexually speaking, especially when you're in your 20s or 30s? It would be hard to imagine that. They're, you know, it would be difficult. And a lot of people marry people who are sexually inept, and they get involved with them and find out that doesn't work for them. They want a better sex life, so they'll drop that person or that mate and go on to someone else. I've seen it all in my years as a counselor, believe me, as I try to help people awaken. This affection problem is emotionality. And Claire, if you're going to declare yourself, spiritually speaking, if you're going to really want to awaken, you're going to have to declare Claire. You're going to have to disassociate with her emotional state of mind. And that is going to be very difficult, because our emotions determine how we are doing with our survival. And it's all about survival. It is not about love. It is, we love them that help us survive. That is the end. It doesn't go any further. Now, we can love those who teach us how to survive or things like that, or teach us that we're precious and we don't have to work and we don't have to do this and but that is still survival in its crudest, rudest, lewdest forms. Intense feeling of deep affection, according to the dictionary. Emotionality. And emotions change all the time. They're based on chemicals in your body, oxytocin. I think about all the chemicals that I've read about. If you want to know more about these, read Behave by Robert Sapolsky. I tell you, it will change the way you look at yourself. You will realize the difference, way our mood swings with the chemicals in our body. You know what they are. Testosterone, estrogen. You know about all these things. So, Claire, can any of us, you ask, be in love? Not if we're going to be in the body. Love in the body requires an exclusiveness. You're my lover. You don't have any other lovers. Now, how you define love is the big issue here. I don't know how you define it. You don't tell me. But I am going to assume, make an ass of myself here, that you believe that love has to do with the affection of emotionality that it can provide for you. And if that is the case, then no, you and I could never be in love. And I have done a lot of work with people. They get married, they have maybe great sex before they get married, and she looks at him and she thinks, my God, he's going to be a great provider and he's good in the sack and all of that. And then he looks at her and thinks, God, she is beautiful, she is sexy, she can cook, and I want her to be the mother of my child, that kind of thing. He will think in terms like that to get her to, you know, marry him. Most men don't think in that terms, according to statistics, but I'm just telling you, I have very few friends ever, male friends, that ever said, you know, I want a baby. They know what a woman wants, so they go after that and they adopt that attitude. Anyway, be that as it may, no fighting there. This whole thing turns into a holocaust about mid-40s or early 40s even, where they realize, you know, the chemicals are dying down. The emotions are also changing as the chemicals in the brain and the body start to die down. Don't have the sexual drive we used to have. She or he doesn't look as good as they used to. There's financial difficulties. There's child difficulties. There's world difficulties. All sorts of things come to bear. I have people, women I have known, men I have known, who are not fit to have children, who have talked themselves into it for the sake of just getting a mate, of thinking they were in love. I've had people in my life, and while I was working with them in session, say to me things like, if I had only known, I wouldn't have gotten her pregnant, or I wouldn't get pregnant by him, blah, 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 blah. I've heard this over and over and over again. I would rather deal personally with a very selfish person who in session work, who realized they are selfish and didn't want to have children. I would then one who fooled themselves into believing that they did. Now, I sit here and I watch parents and how they deal with their children and what they call love. And they'll talk about this thing of emotional intelligence. No one I know who's emotional is intelligent. No one. So, Claire, is it possible to be in love? Not in the traditional sense. In the untraditional sense, yes. Yes, but that love has nothing to do, believe it or not, with each other. It has to do with the state of beingness that a person finds in the authentic love. And that is what it's really all about. Not this other craziness that we go through, Claire. Believe me. We've all been through it. It's a human experience. I've been through it. Everybody has. And I don't want you to feel, you know, like you're bad or, you know, thinking that somehow you can figure all of this out from emotionality. You can't. No one can. You have to change your lifestyle. It has to be a complete change. And that is not something that most people will do. So there you are. More people are concerned about their sex and their sexuality than they are about the state of their love. They don't give a rat's you-know-what ass about love, but they do care if they're sexy and if they can have an erection or whether or not they can bear a child. And that's what I have found all throughout my career. It is garbage. Thank you, Claire, for your opening question. And I'm sure I didn't satisfy you, but please forgive me. Namaste. The next one. This is from Henry. He does not tell me where he lives. Neither did. Oh, Claire did. Yeah. Is loving one another person a biological experience or a spiritual one? I can't understand what you're talking about. Henry, if you have the pedestrian mentality, which lives in the menial mind of just laboring through life and thinking traditional thoughts about right and wrong, good and bad, up and down, in and out. If you have just a traditional menial mind that thinks in terms of how to survive, what you want, what you want your life to be, how much you're going to have, things like that. Yeah, you're going to never fall in love. You're never going to find love. Love is really not a falling, it's a rising. But nonetheless, unless the nun here, loving another person basically is biological. Okay? So you're looking, even listening to me, you wouldn't have taken the time to write me an email or do any of the things that you said you did to write me if you didn't think I had something to help you survive better or to make you believe that I am wrong and that you will survive better by understanding that people like me are all wrong and you can just move on to, you know, more pedestrian thinking. And that's the way we live. We live to survive. We don't understand our life. We only are caring about how we are living. In other words, our day-to-day affections, our day-to-day emotional reactions, our day-to-day emotional gratifications. It's all about gratification. And if somebody speaks in your language of emotionality about getting what you want and assuming that the meaning of life is in what you can get from not only other people, but from quote-unquote life itself, then you and I will think we're friends, or you and I or someone else will think that they're in love with us or whatever. You're in love with those who speak the language of your own emotionality, not the language of real love, which has nothing to do with words, and it has absolutely nothing to do with emotionality. Absolutely nothing. And most people will never, ever, ever question the state of their love. Never. It is what it is. It's because I want to believe that, or I have biological needs, and if they're not fulfilled, then I don't love you. We want to hear certain words from people. We want certain affectionate gestures from people. We want a certain romantic and sexual activity with our lovers. And we want to make all of this love. And it is nothing but biology. Pure, unadulterated biology. Now, Henry, there is nothing I can say to really convince you of this. Nothing. But what I just said is a fact. Inner work, deep spiritual inner work, has nothing to do with biology. We live in our biology, in the human body, and there is nothing wrong with that. But you have to understand your instincts. What are emotions for? They're instinctual. They alert you to danger. That's what they're there for. They're not there to be the purveyors of love. They are there to show you initially danger. Then they give you the impetus to go and survive away from that danger. That's what they're there for. They're instinctual. To make them or believe that they could be anything else other than that is pure, pure futile thinking. And a lot of spiritual teachers or people who are considered spiritual teachers or call themselves that would disagree. But that's why they have masses of people, because they speak the language and the condoning of emotionality, which doesn't help anyone awaken. The object is to awaken beyond your emotions, beyond your human instincts, beyond the beyond, as the Buddha said. But, you know, what can I say? Basically, that doesn't happen. So, Henry, there you are. It is a spiritual experience when you're awakened or when you're seeking awakening. When you're living out of your body, it's purely biological. Forgive me, Henry. Namaste. I'm never forget. Anyway, last question. How do we love one another as Jesus taught when he said, obviously, love ye one another as I have loved you? You think he loved people out of sexuality? Think he was deeply romantic with his disciples? Or do you think he was emotional about? We see emotion in him. We do. And I have no problem with that. But do you think he loved emotionally like you do, like I do, like most people do? Do you think the Buddha was a loveless person because he was dispassionate and he taught dispassion, as did Jesus? No. You want your cake and eat it too. That's what people want. They want to be passionate and emotional and crazy. And at the same time, they want to derive the benefits of spiritual awakening. And the sad part of that is you can't have both. So there you are, my friend. No. To truly love ye one another as I have loved you would mean that I would have to be dispassionate towards everything. I would have to learn to replace my passion with compassion. I'd have to learn to be kind, and above all of that, to make any of that possible, there must be the ultimate of forgiveness in everything that we do, real forgiveness, and not the stuff we call forgiveness. Once you understand that, once you're involved in that, once that starts to matter within you, then you're really in the spiritual path, on the spiritual path. And everything changes once you've had just a glimpse of love in you. Really, all it takes is a simple little glimpse. I have to want love in my lifetime more than wanting what I think is love. I have to want love more than what I want love to be. I have to want love more than wanting what I believe love should be. I have to simply seek love, not as an emotion, a passion, but as a state of being that lives within all of us. And when you can recognize the love in someone else, the real love, not the affectionate stuff, when you can realize the real love of another person, you will find it can inspire you to know the love within yourself. And you can merge. You will become one in the whole of love. And Jesus loved us in that way. So did the Buddha and Lhasa. These are not loveless people. They just look loveless to us because they are not passionate and are not bound by their emotions. And they do not let their emotionality get ahead of their consciousness. They enter into consciousness. Real love is consciousness. Nothing less and nothing more. I hope that helped you. I hope that helped you all. Thank you so much for listening. I deeply appreciate it. Oh, boy. Tough subject today. I want you to have a beautiful and lovely day, and we'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive, eh? Namaste.